I'm going to let you in on a secret, and that is that priests are notoriously bad at answering invitations. We really are. We get them, and they're either by phone or in mail, and Father Eric and I were talking about this a while back, and we both realized we are notoriously bad. I don't know why, but we are. Seminarians find this out whenever they try to invite people to their ordination. And everybody else responds, and the priests are late responding, and then they just show up, you know. And I bring that up because this is a very, very odd parable. This story is really odd. I was thinking to myself when I was preparing this homily, it's a good thing that I wasn't part of the invitation list for this king. And really, this is two separate parables. In the Gospel of Luke, the story ends, everybody comes into the banquet and a good time is had by all. The beautiful people didn't want to come, the important people. So all the rest of us get invited and we get brought in, and isn't it wonderful, the door closes and we have a great big party. But this parable, this addition, is an odd one, isn't it? And you say to yourself, boy, you don't want to be invited to anything by that king, because if you just, you know, brush him off, look what happens. Well, there's a deeper significance here. And there's a deeper significance when you realize that Matthew is speaking to the early Christian community. And he's speaking there to say, we are called. We're all called to something that's almost unimaginable. Come, look, my oxen and my fatted calves have been slaughtered and everything is ready. All we have to do is respond. How do you respond? We say, oh, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You know, another possibility will come around again. You see this all the time when people are working on their cell phones, eh? When we say to a lot of young people, but not just young people, we've got a great thing planned. Come out to horseback riding or boxing or this or that or to the chosen or group or whatever. And they look and they say, I want to see if there's a better offer. I don't want to commit. And other people do it too. Don't want to commit. Want to see if it's a better offer. And we don't understand, perhaps, this phenomenal offer of the Lord. Come. Come to that banquet that we heard Natalie read in the first reading. Come. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. Rich food filled with marrow, well-aged wines, strained clear, and it goes on and on and on. Boy, that's a party you'd want to be at. But we just shrug. Say, ah, who cares? The people of Israel were like that. When God sent his prophets to the people of Israel, sometimes they listened and sometimes they just shrugged. They said, here it comes again. Ah, life is okay. Maybe it's not, you know, some wonderful feast and we have problems with Assyrians and Phoenicians. We have problems with Romans. But, you know, we'll take it for what we can get, because this promise of God, ah, who cares? And so the people of Israel were completely dispersed. That little pitiful remnant that came back from Babylon were under the horrendous yoke of the Romans and were crushed. And then there's a second set of people that come. When Christ came and the apostles and the missionaries went out to the peoples, what was the response? Some people listened and some people didn't. And certainly the chosen people of Israel didn't listen. And you know what was burnt in AD 70? Jerusalem was wiped off the map. It was destroyed. The king came in, the emperor came in with his forces and wiped out Jerusalem. And we're called. And we're called in yet another way. We're called to something to remember, that we are to be a people who really know what that feast will be like. Every single time we come to this altar to receive Holy Communion, we share in a feast that's far beyond the imagining of the prophets of the Old Testament. We share in a feast that is not just with fine foods filled with marrow and well-aged wines. We don't share just wine and bread. We share the very body and blood of Christ. And we know that all kinds of people will shrug and say, ah, maybe I'll get there sometime. Who knows? And we're called to remember something. We also are to remember that we don't just come up to the altar willy-nilly. We don't just come good and bad alike. That's not what it's about. No, good and bad, it says, are brought in. And so those servants went into the streets and they gathered all those whom they found, good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But the parable doesn't end there, does it? It doesn't end there. there's this strange thing. When the king comes in to his wedding hall, he looks around and he sees almost everybody except for this one poor dude that just couldn't be bothered to put on the wedding garment. Lots of people were poor. And believe me, clothes weren't something you could pick up in Value Village. That's not it. That's not the way it worked. And so often enough at a wedding, if you wanted people to actually have clean clothes, you actually provided them a clothing garment, some clothing or a robe or something, so they'd have something fitting to wear. And especially that would be the case if somebody was poor, because what would they have but rags? So he gave them a wedding garment. Everybody walking into that hall got a wedding garment, but he just didn't get around to putting it on. He didn't get around to changing. When we're called to God, when we're called into the church, when we're called to be active members of the church, we're not just called to sort of recognize ourselves and say, yes, we're sinners, and I like my sins, and I'm going to stay in my sins. No, we're called to change. You may not have to wear a tuxedo, but you're called to change. When a person, when an adult is baptized, in some churches, they go down into the water, and they come up, and they have a whole white robe, a whole new garment. And for ourselves, we do that with adults when we have a white stole that's put on them. See in this white garment the outward sign of your Christian dignity. With your family and friends to sustain you by word and example, bring that dignity unstained into the everlasting life of heaven, to the everlasting feast of heaven. That's what we're called to do. So it's true, everybody can come in, but you know something? It's not that you can just sort of have the good and the evil can just carry on. No, we're all called to change. And we're called to change because of the invitation. It's there. It's possible. It's real. People say, I can't change. There's no way I can change. I can't change. I'm 23. I'm 66. I'm 86. I'm too old to change. The Lord says, everyone is called. Everyone is called. And as we heard last week, some are called early and some are called late. But we've all got to change. And the Lord provides us that wedding garment. He provides us, in effect, to be clothed with the garments of the sacraments, so that we ourselves can be able to recognize that change is not just possible, but it's truly life-giving. It's not just life-giving. It's not just as if we're supposed to come in to this gathering and be glum. We're called to a feast. We're called to the fullness of the glory and the celebration of God. That's why we call a Mass a celebration. That's why we even call a funeral, as difficult as it is, a celebration. Because we are advancing into the fullness of eternal life. That's what we hold fast to. And because we hold fast to it, we need to let other people know it as well. People say, why do you go to Mass? I don't know how often I was asked that when I went to high school or university, when I was working in construction. Oh, for heaven's sake, you've had a hard Saturday night, and maybe quite a short or a long, depending on how you count it, Saturday night. Sleep in, take it easy, right? Rest, my soul. Take your rest. Linger on. The reason we go to Mass is because I need it. The reason we go to Mass is because this is truly just a tiny foretaste of that great feast of heaven. If this is only a tiny foretaste, just imagine how much more God has prepared for those who love Him. And that's what we have and what we hold fast to. And that's why we want to be able to invite people. We ourselves are also those, we're not just invited in, we are also those servants who go out to invite other people in from the very streets to say, if you knew what we've got, you'd want it too. And you know what we do have? We have a way to be fed. I look around, I see an awful lot of hungry people. And they're filling themselves up on spiritual popcorn and sort of, you know, claptrap candy floss. And that's never going to satisfy them. That's never going to truly sustain them. Not just in the difficult times, but in any times. And there's that sense that it's not enough, and so I go looking for something else, and another experience. Isn't that true? Like our Lord Himself said, they go from here to there. We have something different that will satisfy us, that will rejoice, that we will be able to glory in. And so I invite you to be able to truly be one of those servants, to go out into the streets, to go out into the corridors of that high school, to be able to speak to people, whether you're sitting down at Tim Hortons, to be able to talk to the people around you, the ones you even probably know too well, to say, have I got something for you? And here it is. We are all called to come in to that great wedding feast, and we're called to have that great gift that allows us to change. And we are called to truly have our hunger satisfied now and in eternity. And I'm going to tell you a practical way to do it. Here it is. Look at this. You've been coming week after week into this church for months, right? You've been back and forth. You've been looking through scaffolding. You'll be doing that a few more weeks, let me tell you. But you know something? Isn't it interesting to see it all happening? And to be able to say, look, look at what's here. This, in a physical sense. Invite people in. I know you can laugh at me because I'll walk around here and I'll see people walking by. I'll say, come in. Come on in and look at this church and see what's happening. Whether there are people out wandering here or there, they probably are going off to get groceries and they're trying to avoid me. Who knows? But the truth of the matter is that, as it says in the Old Testament, and one will grab on to the elbow of another and say, come with me and see. Come and see what we've done. Not what we've done. Nah, come and see what the Lord has done. And if the Lord has done this, how much more, how much infinitely more can God through His Son, Jesus Christ, do if we but let Him into our hearts today?